We've got a major topic to deal with this hour, and we want to do it well. To be honest, I have more material than what 1 hour will cover. I try to do that to myself. It adds a little pressure. I will go fairly quick through the material. Will not be exhaustive, but yet we'll try to be as comprehensive as possible. The topic that Rob asked me to develop for today is the impact of divorce on future families. This is a tough topic, to be honest with you, for a variety of reasons. So let's go ahead and begin by prayer. I think that'd be a good way to get us rolling. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for these friends that are here. We pray that this hour would benefit each one of us, those that are in the middle of counseling, as well as those of us that are married. And Lord, there's many things about divorce that's helpful. And as we seek to serve those who either are or are products of. And so just pray that you would grant us good wisdom, a gracious heart, a lot of mercy as we think through these issues, a lot of humility. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm Kevin Carson. I have the privilege of pastoring in Ozark, Missouri, Sunrise, as well as I'm the Biblical Counseling Department Chair at Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary. I teach here at Faith as well in their master's degree in Biblical Counseling. As I mentioned, Rob asked me to talk about the impact of divorce on future families. I think there are several things to consider. Just by means of introduction, let me just make a couple of general comments. First, divorce, although a reality in the world around us, wreaks havoc on families and churches. On families, I think you get that part. You see it probably, and I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but my guess is the majority of you have been impacted by divorce on one level or another. And so, certainly, I'm not standing here as an expert. You're track four. Many of you counsel regularly and have many long hours. So I'm walking alongside you, essentially, in this particular topic. But it does wreak havoc. And I think it wreaks havoc on churches as well. It puts pastoral teams, elders, it puts them in tough circumstances. What do we do? How do we handle this issue? I think it puts church people in tough circumstances. Let me give you an example. Right, someone gets a divorce, and the church may have been there. If it's somebody that's been in the church a while, the church may have been there for their pre-engagement, and they've watched some of them grow up, and then they get engaged, and they're excited, and they gave them gifts, and they were there for the wedding, and then they've watched them maybe begin a family, and then some stuff happens, and somebody gets a divorce, and the church isn't even sure how to handle it. They're not sure what to do with it, how to deal with it. So it wreaks havoc, I think, in many different places. Divorce statistics actually have improved. If you just go and Google it, divorce stats in the United States look better than what they used to. I would suggest, though, there's two misleading parts about that. The first thing I would say is, as it says in your notes there, I'd suggest that the actual health of families is not any better at all. The reason divorces are down is because people are waiting longer to get married. So in their 18 to 27, 28, 29, in that decade, they're cohabitating with multiple people, where in the previous decades, a lot of them would have gotten married, and then in the process, things would have turned over and they would have had a divorce. Now those relationships have happened, some including children, but marriage was never part of that equation. So I don't think that the health of families are actually that much better. Number three, in this session, we'll explore and examine the impact divorce has on future families from several different perspectives. As we do, we're going to seek to help you with counseling implications along the way. The issue is complicated. And so again, I hope I come across no different than just a humble brother walking alongside you in this particular issue. Because it is complicated. And it's complicated in the church. Again, as I mentioned, it's complicated lots of different ways. If you would, let's consider some perspectives on divorce regarding future families. I have five perspectives I thought it would be helpful to think through. Recently online, I had this session in mind. And so I asked people if they wanted to talk about divorce, to contact me, to send me a direct message. And to be honest with you, I had so many people contact me, I couldn't even handle all the conversations. I did my best with them. Of course, I have previous counseling myself. I had a whole, this lesson was almost totally prepared when I asked for people's comments. But what I received online was just absolutely burdening, to be honest. As I started all these conversations with direct, whatever it's called on Facebook, messaging, what I heard were just impactful stories, and lots of them. Let's talk about the future families after divorce. The first one would be a divorced wife who's marrying a new husband. I think some of the common threads in that issue is the question, how will I ever truly trust somebody again? I remember talking to one young lady, and she said she wasn't quite married yet, remarried. And she says, whoever I marry, they're going to have to deal with the rest of my life I'm not sure I can ever trust again. She's being honest. When it's been crushed and broken so many different times and so many different ways, it doesn't surprise us that they are leery to trust again. I think a spirit of protectionism, where they build up these walls and say, you know, this last dude, I let him in here, 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 and here, and look at all the ways that he abused or all the ways that he sinned against me. So this next time, I want another relationship, but I'm going to do what I have to do to protect myself. I think we have to think through that. Another common theme of all the ladies I talked with was related to money, where they're siphoning money almost constantly, just keeping a little private stash just in case. One person said, yeah, this is how much money I have saved. Why do you have it saved? Right? She's in a marriage relationship. When I say, so why do you have money saved? She says, because just in case something happens again, I've got an emergency exit. I think issues related to submission, when you bring in a new dad, if there's children, stepdad issues, all of those. What about a divorced husband with a new wife? One of the themes that I saw was, how do you honor a new wife and give her the appropriate time and attention when at the same time you need to serve your children? And the struggles related to honoring a new wife, but as well growing in your relationship with your children. I especially heard that from the children's perspective. Then how do we introduce a stepmom? How do you build trust for the new woman? There's been a covenant that's been broken already. And so since one covenant's been broken, how do you lead in suggesting spiritually, physically, in every other way, that this new covenant's going to be different than the last covenant? Like, that's an issue that we have to at least consider. Let me suggest some for both husband and wife here. So this one kind of mixes both of those together. Just a couple quick statements. I think issues of resolved conflict or unresolved conflict. What about the first divorce and the response to the first divorce? Of course, forgiveness and reconciliation. We have a list later in the talk where we'll discuss some of these briefly. And then what about joint parenting? All of those with divorces at this level. Let me give you three more, and we don't have a long time to deal with these. I could have spent, after everything I read and all the conversations I had, I could have spent our entire hour on these five things, to be honest with you. What about children of a divorced couple? Let me just suggest a couple of pressure points that were pointed out to me. I think loyalty, are they loyal to mom or are they going to be loyal to dad? How can you be loyal to both? And possibly some of the siblings are one parent, some are the other parent. It really produces some conflict that way. What do you call everyone? When mom and dad start marrying other people, now do we call them by their first name? Some people come in and say, well, I want you to call me mom or dad. And right, the kids are telling me privately online here, hey, I already had a mom or dad. I'm not interested at all in calling somebody else mom or dad. What does respect look like for this new person?